Sermon. Behold, what manner of love. Oakland, California, July 25, 1906. A discourse given at the Oakland, California Camp Meeting, July 25, 1906. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3, verse 1 to 3. What a precious privilege is this, that we may be sons and daughters of the Most High, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What love, what matchless love, that, sinners and aliens as we are, we may be brought back to God and adopted into his family. It is sin that alienates from God. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoso sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Verses 4 to 6. To every one who surrenders fully to God is given the privilege of living in obedience to the law of heaven, without sin. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Verses 7 to 9. God requires of us perfect obedience. We are to purify ourselves, even as he is pure. We are to reveal our love for the supreme ruler of the universe by keeping his commandments. And the Lord has not left us in ignorance regarding his law. While enshrouded in a thick cloud resting upon Mount Sinai, he repeated the holy precepts of the Decalogue distinctly and with solemn impressiveness. So deeply were the people impressed when they saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking that they removed and stood afar off. Exodus 20, verse 18. Speak thou with us, they pleaded with Moses, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Verse 19. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Verse 20. Every provision against sin has been made in our behalf. The importance of obedience was further impressed upon the minds of the Israelites by the Lord himself, when, as recorded in 31st of Exodus, he spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Verses 12 to 18. In the providence of God, these same commandments that were written with the finger of Jehovah and entrusted with the Israelites are now committed to our care. Upon us rests the solemn obligation of proclaiming God's law to an impenitent world. The final issue will turn on obedience to the Sabbath commandment, which is so plainly enforced by the Lord himself for a perpetual covenant. Verse 16. Men will labor with an intensity from beneath to make of no effect God's command regarding the observance of the seventh day. But we are not to be influenced by anything that man may do. Our allegiance to the King of Kings must ever be made of paramount importance. We cannot afford to be out of harmony with the Creator of the universe.
Men may make laws to enforce Sunday observance, but they have no scriptural authority for doing so. We cannot do otherwise than obey the law of Jehovah, irrespective of any counter-law enacted by man. When man-made laws conflict with God's sacred enactments, we must choose to obey God rather than man. While respecting earthly authorities insofar as they do not interfere with our allegiance to God, we are to acknowledge our divine ruler as the supreme authority. And in all our efforts to remain true, we are to keep constantly in mind the words of the beloved disciple. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3, verse 1. Years ago, in the early days of our denominational work on the Pacific coast, my husband and I united with a few faithful brethren and sisters in an effort to build meeting houses in San Francisco and in Oakland. At that time, there were not many believers, and we had to make heavy personal sacrifices in order to secure sufficient means with which to erect churches and establish institutions. But we realized that San Francisco and Oakland must be worked, and so we toiled and struggled until the Laguna Street Church in San Francisco and the Oakland Church were built. San Francisco has been visited with a terrible calamity. The Lord in mercy has spared life in order that the people may still have opportunity to repent. The wickedness practiced in San Francisco and in Oakland as well, though in a lesser degree, has been opened before me again and again. No tongue can describe the conditions that existed before the earthquake. Words are inadequate to portray the awful iniquity carried on. To an unusual extent, many were lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, 4. God has manifested His displeasure in a signal manner in San Francisco. He is seeking to teach men that they cannot always disregard His authority with impunity. He has given to us a law which, sooner or later, we must acknowledge as holy and just and good. The ruler of the universe bears long with those who trample on His law and disregard His holy Sabbath. But in the fullness of time, He arises to vindicate His supreme authority. In His judgments, God has remembered mercy. He has spared life. We now have a work to do in San Francisco. The Laguna Street Church still stands. The third angel's message is to be proclaimed in San Francisco with power. If possible, the people are to be aroused to a realization of their peril. By this stroke of God's providence, they are to understand that one touch from the One in supreme authority can break up the foundations laid by man and bring destruction to the highest and the strongest buildings. God's judgments are not for naught. They are given in order that all may take warning. Everyone should inquire, "Have I a hope in God? Do I believe in Him? Can I take hold of Him by living faith?" In the midst of the confusion caused by the earthquake and the fire, the people are to be taught to discern the wondrous import of the words, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." 1 John 3, verse 1. Diligent work is now called for. In this crisis, no half-hearted efforts will prove successful in the saving of souls. In all our city work, we are to hunt for souls. Wise plans are to be laid in order that such work may be done to the best possible advantage. More and more, as wickedness increases in the great cities, we shall have to work these places from outpost centers. This is the way Enoch labored in the days before the flood, when wickedness was rife in every populous community and when violence was in the land. God in His providence has spared Oakland. We have a duty to perform in Oakland. We are not to leave this city unworked, for God has spared it in order that we may do a thorough work here. Let not those who are in Oakland become discouraged over the outlook. The Lord has a message to be borne to the people in this city. Decided efforts are to be made to lead men and women to see that God is supreme ruler and that His commandments are to be obeyed. In the night season, there have passed before me many presentations in figures regarding the work to be done in Oakland. Among other things, I saw one from heaven standing in the community here at Oakland and in the surrounding cities to bear the proclamation, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. He takes sin away because of the repentance, the dependence upon God, the humility of soul that he sees.
I would address the members of the Oakland Church. Do not think, brethren and sisters, that we are planning to leave you without help and strength because we scatter away. No. God may touch Oakland, but He has spared it thus far, in order that those who have never heard the third angel's message may be warned and converted and saved. Those who choose to stand on the Lord's side in Oakland shall behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3, verse 1, 2. Much missionary work is to be done in Oakland, and in many other cities a similar work is to be carried forward. Just now, however, we have a most favorable opportunity of giving the third angel's message to the people in this place. Let not our brethren and sisters think that we expect to leave them without help. We intend to stand by you until this work is accomplished, and we shall expect you to unite with us heartily by rallying around the standard and by doing much personal work among your neighbors and friends. Money will be needed for the maintenance of the laborers. Let every church member deny self as Christ denied Himself. I have had to study the closest economy because of the many pressing calls for means to advance the message. As we sacrifice willingly, God will not fail us in time of need. The source of all our blessings, He will not allow us to suffer because of our liberality. Son, we shall have to leave the cities. For years we have been instructed that our people, and especially families with children, should plan to leave the cities as soon as the way opens before them to do so. But until it is possible for them to leave, they should be most active in doing missionary work, however limited their sphere of influence may be. As they yield their talents and their all to God to be used as He may direct, as they live out their consecration by engaging in practical missionary work wherever opportunity affords, God will bless them with wisdom and discretion, and in His own way and time, He will make it possible for them to place themselves where they will not be surrounded constantly with the contaminating influences of modern city life. Oh, how much we need genuine missionaries! How much we need men and women who will labor under the supervision of the Almighty in the power of His Spirit! How much we need those who know that God has called them to His service! It is when the work goes hard that living missionaries reveal by their courage and fortitude and their trust in God that they are led and taught by the Holy Spirit. These are the laborers whom God can bless, to the salvation of many precious souls. It is the privilege of every Christian, and especially of those before whom the way has not opened to leave the cities, to be successful laborers together with God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Verses 1, 2.